from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Today on The Exchange, we're kicking off a new once-a-month philosophy series called The Socrates Radio Cafe, where we choose one question and discuss it for the hour. Our guest for the series is Chris Phillips, founder and executive director of the nonprofit Society for Philosophical Inquiry. He's authored several books, including Six Questions of Socrates, Socrates Cafe, A Fresh Taste of Philosophy, and most recently, Socrates in Love. More than a decade ago, Chris started the first Socrates Cafe, bringing philosophical discussions to everyday people in everyday places. At this point, there are about 500 such groups around the world. Today on The Exchange, we bring one to the radio, so pull up a chair at our first Socrates Radio Cafe. The question we're pondering, what is love of country? Is it patriotism? Is it protest? Is it service as a volunteer, or in public life, or in the military? What do you think? Call in at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477, or email exchange at nhpr.org. Chris Phillips joins us from a studio in Richmond, Virginia. And Chris Phillips, welcome back. Great to have you.
Thank you, Laura. It's great to be back.
Well, we talked about 6 months ago, Chris, so just a reminder before we get started, lay out the basics. What's a Socrates Cafe?
A Socrates Cafe is a place or space where people exchange their views, but it's not enough just to say what you think. You have to say why you think what you think. And you also have to be open to having your views scrutinized, maybe taking down pathways that are rather unpredictable, with the idea that it's okay to have more questions at the end than the outset, but it's supposed to sort of further deepen and broaden our questioning nature. And so that's a healthy exercise.
It's not just about saying what you think, but why. Yes. And give us a little more, Chris, please, on the role of the questions.
The role of the questions are meant to help a person to inspire them to further develop their view, to further discover their view, than they would if they were left to their own devices. It's not meant to threaten or intimidate or stump anybody. It's meant to be a means to helping you further discover that, wow, I have this great unique view and I didn't even realize I had it too, until people started asking me these great questions.
So it's not a debate, it's a discussion.
It's a discourse. It's an exchange that's grounded in asking questions that are meant to help tease out your view further than you would in a typical conversation.
And what are the ground rules, Chris? Because, you know, people are putting themselves out there.
They are. I think one the key criterion is to have courage of your convictions, to not just have the courage to have them, but to have them challenged in a way that helps you discover if they really have a firm foundation. But the other ground rule is to be a very careful listener. I think that one of the problems in so many exchanges these days is that everybody is thinking up his or her next zinger without really carefully listening to what's being said. And if we are going to grow and evolve as individuals, as well as a society, I think we need to resuscitate that capacity developed by the ancient Greeks of cultivating our listening skills, learning, bridging that chasm between one person and another. To do that, we need to be expert listeners in addition to being expert questioners.
Well, and I want to remind everyone that we're holding our first Socrates Radio Cafe on the air, the first of a new monthly series. Each month we'll pick one question and ponder it using this method Chris is talking about, of asking more questions to examine more deeply. This month we are asking, what is love of country? What does it mean to love a country? Give us a call. What do you think? 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Chris, what about your role as a leader or a moderator in these discussions?
My role is not just to ask questions as people offer their views, to ask questions that will help them develop their views, take them down pathways that they might not have anticipated. But in looking at what speaks for and against a variety of compelling views, it helps me compare and measure my own views. I'm not a potted plant, so to speak. I'm not asking these questions just to be a gadfly or a foil or a devil's advocate, but anyone who has that chutzpah to offer their own views, they're helping me further discover what my own views amount to see whether they need fine-tuning or overhauling. So it's an exchange. We're all in this together.
Well, in your book, Socrates in Love, that we talked to you about last year, you examined all different kinds of love, including love of country. What types of questions came up as you were talking to people about love broadly? What types of questions came up surrounding love of country?
The question that came up that I'm still fascinated and perplexed by is love of country and love of self not just entwined, but do they really amount to the same thing? It's really easy to say, I don't like my country. I don't like the policies it's foisting on us. I don't like the direction it's heading. But it's harder to ask, well, what does it say about me? If I'm a reflection of or a microcosm of my country, and if I'm not doing anything to reverse it, not simply protesting or complaining, but something maybe in just my everyday life to bridge any divides that exist between me and people who don't share the same political views, does that say that I don't love myself as much as possible? And I think that that's a question that's continuing to resonate among people all over. Is love of country and love of self somehow, some way, not just entwined, but are they more or less the same thing?
What about love of country and patriotism? What did people say about that when you were researching Socrates and love?
Love of country and love of patriotism. There's different types of patriotism. There's a type that's sort of, well, if you don't like this country, then try some other place. There's another type that sort of espouses the view that if you want freedoms of speech, of assembly, if you want a country that gives the best to all of its citizens, good healthcare, good shelter, good housing, and if you really don't want to expand that desire for people in far-flung parts of the globe, if you don't want them to have the best things as well, can you be said to have the highest or most sublime form of patriotism? In other words, if you just want it for your fellow countrymen, or maybe even narrow the circle further, if you just want it for your nearest and dearest, and don't care that everyone else has it, are you as patriotic as you could be? One of my favorite philosophers, Martha Nussbaum, talks about compassionate patriotism, this belief that ultimately, to be a great patriot of an open society, this great beacon of the free world that supposes the United States, that you really want to make sure that the conditions are such all over the globe so that everybody can have and enjoy the types of freedoms you have here.
Well, this is a Socrates Radio Cafe, and Chris, I'll ask you, what did Socrates say about love of country? I'm sure he had plenty to say about it.
You know, it's funny. He didn't say very much explicitly. It was more what one can construe or extrapolate from his own actions. At a time when his society, when a rather open society, was in decline, he didn't just rail and declaim against it. What did he do? He went out into the public marketplace and held dialogues where people who were just passing by could, on their hurried way to someplace else, would suddenly freeze and look and see what he was doing and would take pause and take part in the dialogue on the virtues. and to discover more about what it was to be a virtuous person, a virtuous self in a society in which its citizenry, by and large, had become very enwrapped in self-aggrandizement, self-gratification, avarice, and didn't really care about advancing any longer any notion of the common good, the sense that we're all in this together working towards some type of common objectives. So it was this interesting, sort of subtly subversive practice of having dialogues in public places at a time when that was no longer embraced, when questioning was looked down upon by his leaders, when they didn't want them, didn't want their populace to question anything about what they were doing. They just wanted them to go along. I find that very interesting, that sometimes it's sort of these indirect acts of patriotism where you're not just protesting against a specific policy, but trying to bring people together of a lot of dispositions to inquire into these foundational questions. How can we become more excellent as individuals, as a society, at a time when this is no longer encouraged, can itself, I think, be one of the greatest acts of patriotism. Well, Chris, let's take some of our callers. There's a couple people who've joined us on the Socrates Radio Cafe. Again, 1-800-892-6477 is the number. And the question we're pondering today is, what does it mean to love a country? Let's go to Jack first. He's calling from Manchester. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you, Laura, and to your guests. This is a great idea and a great series. I'm looking forward to this from month to month already. I was interested, I was intrigued by what your guest said about love of country has to somehow be tied up with love of self, and that can be narcissistic, or it can be, a great virtue. And I think to make it a great virtue, it has to be, as trite as it may sound, it has to be tied in with the golden rule. And I think, we here in the United States often make the assumption that if our fighting men are fighting anywhere, under whatever pretext, that they're fighting in defense of our freedom. And, I don't want to particularize this too much, but I don't think the Iraqis were attacking my freedom. So I guess what I would say is that I think, the thought that occurred to me this morning before I even knew you had this program, I was sitting here sipping my morning coffee in the peace and security and the comfort of my own home, and I was thinking, how outrageous of me to think that my peace and my security and my comfort justifies bombing villages, burning cities, making orphans and widows out of children and wives in countries far away whose people and whose government had not been attacking us.
Well, Jack, the demands of radio mean I need to cut you off because we're going to a break. But you stay on the line there, Jack, because I know coming up, Chris Phillips will employ his Socratic talents with you and explore this question closer with more questions. So, Jack, stay on the line, and Chris Phillips, hang on. We'll be back with the Socrates Radio Cafe in just a moment. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on NHPR. It is 9:19, and support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from Huron Embers and from Woodstock Inn Station and Brewery, brewing handcrafted ale since 1994. Offering its White Mountain Variety 12-pack, information at woodstockinnbrewery.com. And from North Branch Construction, celebrating 50 years of sustainable construction for institutional, residential, and commercial industries, and relocating the new corporate offices in Concord this spring, northbranch.net. More by Socrates Radio Cafe on The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio, and then at 10 on the Diane Reem Show, election results from Pakistan. Weather for this afternoon, clouds moving in with a chance of snow and rain showers. Highs today, lower 30s in the north, lower 40s in the south. Clearing off for most of the state tonight, remaining mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers in the north country. Lows tonight, teens north, lower 20s south. This is NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today is the first installment of our once-a-month Socrates Radio Cafe series. Our guest is Chris Phillips. The question we're pondering is, what is love of country? We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. By the way, you can post your comments and or pictures of what love of country means to you at our website, nhpr.org. Just look for the Socrates Radio Cafe page. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. And Chris Phillips, just before the break, Jack from Manchester was joining us. Jack's still with us. Chris Phillips, go ahead. Some questions for Jack.
Jack, I'm wondering, you talked about love of country, love of self, and practice of the golden rule. What would be an example in everyday life of practicing that golden rule that would demonstrate love of country?
Practice in everyday life that would demonstrate love of country. One way of doing it, and unfortunately this is the first thing that comes to mind, and I don't want to reduce charity to, the idea of writing a check, but, to help somebody in another country, through things like the Christian Children's Fund or something like that, to welcome an immigrant, hopefully it would be a legal immigrant, but, whatever, who is in need of food, shelter, clothing. Is that everyday life enough? I'm not sure.
What about your neighbor?
That raises the question, who is my neighbor? The Lord Jesus asked. And it could be the stranger on the road to Jericho, or it could be the person in the apartment next to mine. Mm-hmm. And, funny, one of the... Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Okay. If somebody is in need, I should try and help them if I can,
Okay. And what about the argument that what we really need to do is practice the reverse of the golden rule? To not
harm somebody
else? Right. Or anything that you wouldn't want them to do to you?
Don't do it. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think in political life and in most aspects of life, I think the rule of Socrates, Hippocrates, if I may quote another Greek, applies. First, do no harm. So, I think we need to refrain from doing harm to others. And I think we are on a kind of a crusade now where we think that we can do immeasurable harm because our intentions are good.
Well, Jack, I'm going to let you go there because there are lots of other people who are crowding in at the cafe.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. Again, a number 1-800-892-6477. To Worcester, Susan's calling from there. Hi, Susan. Go ahead, you're on The Exchange.
Thank you for taking my call. I am very intrigued by your question of what is love of country. I think that's a very critical question today, particularly under what has happened under this administration over the past 7 years. For me, love of country as an American is defense of our Constitution and the rule of law and our rights under the Bill of Rights. And today is actually a particularly momentous day in that defense because H.R. 24 is having a public hearing today in Concord, New Hampshire. H.R. 24 is a proposal for the state of New Hampshire.
Susan, I feel like this isn't really playing along with what we're talking about today, what is love of country. I feel like she's promoting a bill which I think is about the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Chris, what do you think? Lots of sort of feelings of anger and frustration about the country under this administration.
Well, I was going to ask Susan, is our country nothing more or less than our following our Constitution and Bill of Rights? What else is our country? Are you your country? Are you
America's country? That's a very good question. I think the United States of America is quite unique in terms of what binds our citizenry. We're a very diverse country, so we don't have a lot of commonality with one another the way other countries do.
Can we find commonality out of our diversity? What kind could we find, do you think?
In our Constitution, in our love of our rights, the rights of man. That is our commonality. That is what binds us as Americans. Not our ethnicity, not our religion. It is why we're all here.
Okay,
very different than other countries.
What's your experience, Chris? I'm just curious about what this love of country means in other countries. You've traveled extensively. You've held Socrates cafes in Mexico and Pakistan, around the world.
It's interesting. One of the places I held a dialogue on this was in Cuba, where Americans no longer are supposed to supposedly supposed to go. And I held a dialogue between estranged family members, one who had been in Miami and one who had remained in Cuba for over 40 years. And he said, you know, I always put my country above my family, above the fact that my brother and I had differences of opinion and we didn't communicate for over 4 decades. And he said, you know, blood is supposed to be thicker than water, right? And I should have put my family first. I should have defended the right of my brother to have views different than my own. And in doing so, I would have demonstrated even greater love of my country than following any particular party line. I thought that was quite profound.
No, that's really interesting. What about Mexico? You spent a lot of time there. What sort of questions do you have about love of country?
It's interesting that Susan talked about the Constitution, because Mexico, if you compare it even to the Constitution of the United States, has this glowing constitution that talks about the rights of all individuals to live in dignity, to live with great freedom, to everybody is guaranteed a right to education. And yet, tens of thousands of children there don't have any hope of going to school. The inequalities are unbelievable. So, if we just look at our constitutions, instead of looking at the and their noble claims, and if we don't look at maybe the ignoble realities that exist, and then ask ourselves, what can we as individuals do to bridge the gap between these ideals that our constitution espouses or that we espouse and the actual practices of things? And I'll tell you the truth, one of the reasons I started Socrates Cafe was because I saw Americans of diverse viewpoints not only not tolerant of views that differ from their own, but really building invisible walls between one another. And again, it's really easy to look at other countries, look at our administration, and blame them, and point the finger of blame at anyone but myself and look at them and say, well, what am I doing? What am I doing about it right now to create the type of environments, the type of thoughtful atmosphere that can bring Americans together, much less bring people together in other places?
Well, speaking of what it means to love a country and how that question is viewed outside the United States, last week our executive producer, Keith Shields, posed the question, what is love of country, to some immigrants living here in the United States? He met with them at Star Fashions, that's a popular clothing store among the city's Latino population, on Elm Street in Manchester.
My name is Guadalupe Fernanda Rizkowski. I'm Mexican. I have been in the United States for 11 years, and I became an American citizen almost 2 years ago. Being now the responsibility of being an American citizen represents for me a huge asset to my life. I have the chance now to choose between how I'm going to divide my feelings as a citizen between two great countries. As Mexican, I wish I could be there because all my family lives in Mexico. I love what I inherited from my culture, but being an American citizen, I have in this country the opportunity to develop my skills, to service my community, to be free, to be safer. My name is Fatima Deek, and I did arrive here in the state of New Hampshire from Jordan. That was about 16 years ago. My family originally from Jerusalem, from Palestine, and due to the 1967 war, they ended up in Jordan. So I was born and raised in Jordan. When you love a country, that means this country is worth sacrificing even your own life if the time comes and the call comes to do so. That's what a love of country to me means. On top of that, you know, admiring the country, admiring the traditions, the fact I do have dual citizenship. And when I travel to Jordan as the plane arrives, you know, I'm in tears, and it feels like, oh my God, you know. And then when I cross the border to Palestine, again, I'm in tears, and it's, oh my God. Coming back here, and I'm in Boston, and again, I'm in tears, it's like, oh my God, and it's just amazing feelings.
My name is Eva Castillo. I'm from Caracas, Venezuela. I've been in the U.S. most of my life, since 1974, and I just became a citizen in December.
To me, love of country is to give to your community, to become an integral part of your community, to serve your community. You know, I don't take my citizenship for granted. I work really hard for it, and I, you know, like many of the people that criticize us immigrants, I did not just happen to be born here. I chose to become an American citizen. So I don't take that for granted, and I do a lot more than many of those people that criticize us. I think, you know, just choosing to become a citizen of a different country shows even more love for a country than just happening to be born there.
Okay.
Our talk with New Hampshire Immigrants was produced by Exchange executive producer Keith Shields. Chris Phillips, some great questions about love of country posed by that group that Keith spoke with. What comes up for you? And then I have a couple thoughts as well.
Well, honestly, what came up to me was the fact that my own grandparents immigrated from Greece through Ellis Island in the 1920s. Their name was summarily changed from Philippou to Phillips.
It
doesn't. And I've thought about summarily changing it back to Philippou. But they came for the reasons people come today. For lack of, they had no opportunities in Greece economically. Politically, they had no opportunities there to express their views at that time. And they came here with this celebration of the fact, not just of social mobility, but of political diversity. I mean, we had around our dinner table these incredibly impassioned political exchanges. I mean, it was a big fat Greek dinner, and we would just scream at each other, and then we'd go at it for an hour or so, and we would love each other all the more afterwards. And my grandfather would just celebrate the fact that we could even do this, and not have to worry about other voices prying in or listening in. And that's something that he celebrated, and that you can have diametrically opposed views and leave a conversation or exchange, not only more passionate about your own view, but more connected to those who differ from you.
I heard a question in a couple of those responses, too, about can you divide your love between two countries, and how you do that, and should you love one more, can you love one more? Lots of questions surrounding dual loves of countries.
Lots of questions like that. And does it mean that yourself is divided? I think what it prompts in me are more questions. Are you your country? Are you an amalgam of countries? I was born in the United States, but I think of my forebears in Greece. I think about what type of society they had even centuries ago and what type they have now. And again, this whole question of, is it okay to feel an allegiance to more than one country? Is it okay to feel a greater allegiance to the sufferings, you know, to people all over the world to alleviate their sufferings, and to just feel that way about those in your own country?
Again, the number today on the exchange, it's our Socrates Radio Cafe, is 1-800-892-6477. Our guest is Chris Phillips, writer and founder of the Socrates Cafe, and also founder and executive director of the Society for Philosophical Inquiry. The question we're pondering this hour is, what does it mean to love a country? Join us 1-800-892-6477. Chris, back to our callers. Barbara is calling from Portsmouth. Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, good morning. I am a German, and I can't really, it is not easy for me to love my country because of the past. And I've lived in America for about 40 years, and I am still not an American. And I don't really want to love a country. I want to look beyond that, and I want to love the world. And I'm also thinking a lot about people who do not have a country and who cannot love their country. So I would like to have an allegiance to the world. Mm. And and I'm almost scared of patriotism or nationalism.
Because you saw what it did in Germany.
And, yeah, and I see it all over again, you know, be it ethnic, be it race, whatever. So I feel okay to be without a country, but with a world.
This is real interesting, Chris. What do you think? Barbara, stay with us, please.
Okay.
Barbara, what is a country? Is it the place you're born? Is it the place you live? Is it some other place? Is it you? Are you your country? What is a country?
I thought, I mean, I was a baby during World War II, but for me, it was not only the place where I was born. For me, it was the place where the keeper, I am also the keeper of this country. So I just grew up with this horrible guilt feeling, and people kept telling me that you were a baby, and you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, but I kept saying that I am a German, and it is my people who did it. So I did a lot of research, and I came to the conclusion that not to feel guilty, but to feel responsible, but then to, because when I'm guilty, I cannot help anyone, I just think about myself. But if I'm responsible, I can help to maybe prevent anything like that again from ever happening again, and I am, now I am really for peace in the world.
Chris, I think I'm still wondering if we... And for instance, I've held dialogues with people in the United States who lived in Philadelphia, Mississippi, during the days of great racism there. And they were ashamed of what was being done to blacks, but they were ashamed of their country, but they were ashamed of the contradictions between the Constitution that gave them equal rights, that all humans were equal, but and the horrific practices back then. But I keep asking myself, well, if we're ashamed of our country, if we're ashamed of its practices, does that mean then that we are, in some sense, ashamed of ourselves? Is it some reflection on us or not? But if it is, what does it mean that we need to do?
And it's interesting too. She says, you know, she feels like she has no country. I wonder how, you know, we heard that from the, well, from the people that keep interviewing, that they have no country, but that they feel like they have two countries. So it's very interesting.
It is very interesting. I know that my mom was born and raised in a coal mining camp in West Virginia, and I asked her, you know, about our roots. Wanted to find out more about the roots and that side of the family. She said, "I am your roots. Essentially, I am your country." Is that true? Can we be people without a country, or should we acknowledge that the country and our roots and our country begin with ourselves and expand it from there?
Well, and coming up, I think I'll share an email with you, Chris, that expounds on just that. We'll also take more of your calls, Barbara. Thank you for that one. Stay with us for more Socrates Radio Cafe coming up.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, where support comes from UR members and from White Mountain Oil and Propane in North Conway, featuring the Rinnai Here, how comfortable heating solutions for homes, additions, condos, and vacation homes. And from Nemec, the Workers' Compensation Insurance Company, specializing in creating safer workplaces across the Northeast, on the web at nemic.com. 9:39, this is New Hampshire Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Virginia Prescott. At Word of Mouth, we talk about human nature.
We have much more hope today than I think we've ever had.
And the cultural forces that shape our world.
What will you do for money? What will you do? Will you sell your soul?
I'm Virginia Prescott. Join me for the launch of Word of Mouth, a brand new show from New Hampshire Public Radio. We look at the new trends and ideas bubbling up around us. Word of Mouth begins on February 28th at 2. Get a sneak preview at wordofmouthradio.org.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today, The Exchange is the first installment of our once-a-month Socrates Radio Cafe series, where we ponder one question for the hour with you. The question today is, what is love of country? Our guest is Chris Phillips. You can join the Socrates Radio Cafe by calling in at 1-800-892-6477 or by emailing us at exchange@nhpr.org. By the way, you can post your comments or pictures of what love of country means to you at nhpr.org as well. Look for the Socrates Radio Cafe page. And we're looking for ideas for future questions to examine for upcoming radio cafe. So again, nhpr.org is the place to go. Chris, you were talking earlier about individual love, individual ties, and love and ties for country. I have two emails to that point. One submitted by KW. My family has roots in Ireland, France, Japan, China, and the US. For me, love of country means an extension of love of family and its associated place. For those feeling love of country is a warm emotion triggered by considering the place of family, for governments, however, it is a lever applied to expand the circle to include the entire governed region for purposes of coercing aligned behaviors with the governmental purpose. So here's these dual meanings of country. Is it your homeland, birthplace? Is it the government? What is it?
Would it be a cop-out to say that it's all of those and more?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not only those things, but having certain ideals that you strive for that may change over time? Is it believing that all of us are equal, that all of us are endowed with equal rights, and in our everyday walk, doing what we can with the talents that we have to see to it that we and everyone else around us has can further that ideal.
So is love of country service? No, I'm asking you. No, I'm
asking
you.
You're doing very well.
And again, if it is service, if that is an essential component of it, then it begs the question, well, what type of service?
Mm-hmm.
I know that many people enlisted in the military after the tragic events of 9/11 as a way of giving something back or responding. Very honorable gesture, very noble gesture. Is that the only way or the best way of demonstrating service? Can one way of service be asking your neighbor how you're doing and really care to know the answer to that, and if they have needs to respond to them?
I have an email from Barbara along those lines. She says, love of country to me means making my country a better place. Love of country to me means being an American in the world who makes the world a better place. Love of country to me means participating in the political life of my country and advocating for the change I think makes my country and the world a better place. I think about a funny conversation I had Chris last week. On Friday, we had two lawmakers in here, New Hampshire lawmakers, who were just working so hard on this education funding dispute that New Hampshire's been wrestling with for a long, long time. And I promoted today's show and said, you know, in exchange, we're going to be asking the word love of country. And after the program, one of the lawmakers turned together and said, well, what we're doing is love of country, isn't it? I mean, here they are working almost for free, day in, day out on these issues. So
yeah.
I thought it was an interesting point, another type of service.
I think it is an interesting point. Again, part of political service can be to not only work to bring about really sound educational policies, but to make sure that everyone's voice is heard. One of the wonderful things about New England is that there are opportunities for people to participate that don't exist in many other places. But to make sure not only that everyone's voice is heard, but maybe to give them opportunities to participate even more directly in policymaking itself rather than leaving it up to representatives.
Let's go back to our callers again. If you want to join us in the Socrates Radio Cafe, the number 1-800-892-6477. And to Joshua in Nashua. Next. Hi, Joshua, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Different words for love, because there were in fact different types of love that they identified, and usually when we talk about love of country, I think we
and the word of agape, which is more of a protectorate love, and the sort of love of my parents to a child. And
Joshua, can I ask a question? Do you think that there is a certain romance involved to love of country?
There certainly can be. I think
what would that be?
I think a lot of people who get caught up in that romance, and
you
know, I think it's manifest in a statement,
whether or leave it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more about the ideals that we have, these great ideals of equality, to make sure that everybody can live in such a way that they can discover their talents and see to it that their talents flourish, so that when they leave, you know, during the moment, they can say, I was here. I mean, is that, to have these ideals and to see to it that we can live up to these ideals, is that a good type of romance, or is that romance at all?
That's an interesting
vantage
point, because there's also this sort of dialectic element that can come into play, but isn't necessarily recognized all the time. You know, what do you love person or a country or a thing for what it is versus what it's doing, or you know, what do you love where we are versus where we're going, and being able to accept one of those things without necessarily accepting the other one.
Great questions, Joshua. Chris, you want to wrap that up for us? It's a very good point. And again, I'm not sure that there are two different ends of the continuum, loving where your country is going and where it may not be going in a way that you would like it to, but to again ask yourself, am I my country to some extent? And if so, what am I doing to exemplify or embody its best ideals? You also everyday walk of life. You also asked Joshua, do you think there's a link between romantic love and love of country? And my first thought was, well, heavens no, Chris, you know, what's the idea? So there you go, the Socrates the Radio Cafe, kind of stretching things in a new direction. I want to remind you that our number is 1-800-892-6477. And thanks a lot, Joshua, for that call. Emails are welcome to the address exchange@npr.org. Today on the Socrates Radio Cafe, we're examining what does it mean to love a country? What does that mean to you? Join us, 1-800-892-6477. You know, we had a caller earlier, Barbara, Chris, who talked about, you know, feeling ashamed because she was German and Germany did so many terrible things in the last century, the Holocaust and World War II. What is love of country when a country commits atrocities? I mean, can you still love it when you're so ashamed, as Barbara is? You know, and, I mean, looking at this country, you know, we almost obliterated the native people who were here. I mean, a terrible act. How do you love a country when the country may have done some things that are really just awful? I think that one of the ways is to recognize, to acknowledge openly the ways that it has gone astray, at times horrifically. That in and of itself, instead of, you know, these myths of manifest destiny and rugged individual, look at all the people left in our wake because we have these myths. To examine those and to say, well, at least we are able to openly and honestly look at the contradictions between our ideals and the way that we've actually practiced them at times. And again, to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, well, what about right now? What are there some things going on perhaps in my own backyard that I find abhorrent? And maybe I'm just turning a blind eye to them, but if I really looked and saw that maybe my own immediate neighbors are suffering in some way, should I be ashamed that I'm not doing anything to address those needs? And what can I do right now? And if you live in a place that you do have an embarrassment of choices of options compared to people in other countries, to embrace that and to be glad about that, but to take advantage of those opportunities. Because if you say, I love my country because it gives me freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, but you don't regularly practice those freedoms, enjoy those freedoms, well, what does that say? Here's an email sort of to that effect, Chris. This is from Karen in Vermont. She says, love of country means to me the same that it means to love anything else, which is to love it even when it does not or is not capable of loving you back. She says, for example, here in the USA, black servicemen who fought in wars, yet were denied basic services and human rights in the very nation they were defending. She says, you know, love of country means continuing to speak out against injustices while doing everything and anything they can do to make it better. Mm-hmm. And I think what speaks to me about that view is she's not separating her country from herself. She's saying that, you know, it's not just this entity above or apart from me. It's me acting within this place to do things that help further along these ideals that we express and that are expressed in our Constitution. I mean, today people are fighting. We have volunteers who are serving in our armed forces, and yet they don't have a GI Bill that my father did that enables them, once they have served active duty, to then go back and have their education completely paid for. If that is the case, then I should be perhaps speaking more seriously to make sure that they do have those types of opportunities. Let's go to our callers again. Chris Tanasua, Victoria is waiting there. Hi, Victoria. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much. I'm listening to this, and I think the thing that's most concerning to me is when I think of love, I think of the interplay between the lover and the lovee, so to speak. That it is not, when we talk about love of country, it seems oftentimes that it is, you know, either love or hate. But, you know, as one of your callers pointed out, there are various types of love. I would say there's passive love, active love, but love implies a relationship between the person and the country. And so I guess in the words of JFK is, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, implied in that is service, but also the interplay between the citizen and the country.
That is so beautifully put, this notion that this every type of love implies a relationship. And what does relationship imply? It implies commitment. That it's at least a two-way street, and most likely a many-way street, and that we all have to be committed to one another. And what does that, Joshua very astutely pointed out, that there's the Greeks of old practiced many forms of love. And what's really interesting is that the form of love that they practiced when it came to love of country was called philia. Now, typically we associate philia with friendship love. That's what it literally translates as. We connote that with love of our immediate circle of intimates. But to the Greeks of old, you practice friendship love to all your citizens. That philia wasn't just about your immediate circle, but it should apply to everybody who was a member of the Greek polis. So it was that even if somebody was a total stranger to you, within your community, you had a love of sorts because you all shared ideas of working towards the common good. You all shared this notion that you should get together with one another, that you should celebrate diverse viewpoints, and inquire together continually. Scrutinize your views, push one another, inspire one another. And it not only was not antagonism, but it was a great form of love in which you could all excel. To become excellent. They had a word for that. It was called arete. And that meant becoming an excellent all-rounder, where you didn't separate the disciplines or, you know, dimensions of human life, but you tried to
you sort of look at the wholeness or oneness of life. And what does that mean? It's that you try to find those unique talents of yours, in addition to becoming an enlightened generalist, but that you've tried to find that way that enabled you to become an excellent human being, the most talented human being you could be, and at the same time to find those talents that helped your country itself become a more excellent all around and live up to its ideals.
Getting back again to the love of country question. Chris Phillips, if you were to write an essay on what is love of country based on our discussion today, what questions would stand out for you that have come from our listeners?
I think that one question I would ask is, what type of relationship does a healthy love of country involve? I would ask, if I hate certain aspects of my country, does it mean that I hate myself? I would ask, am I a country? Am I my country? Can I separate the two? Should I? Questions like that.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for today. And we're going to be joining you next month. And the question is to be determined, Chris. So we will let you know in enough advance so that you can start pondering it. But I want to thank you very much for joining us this hour.
Thank you so much.
That's Chris Phillips, writer and founder of the Socrates Cafe, and also founder and executive director of the Society for Philosophical Inquiry. Now, a reminder that next month's Socrates Radio Cafe question is up to you. You can go to nhpr.org, suggest a question for us to ponder. We will pick one of them from those suggestions that we get. So head on over to nhpr.org. You can post your comments, you can post your suggestions for the next show, you can even post your pictures of what you think love of country means to you. It's nhpr.org. Look for the Socrates Radio Cafe page. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our intern is